This is Millie, and welcome to the Escaping Narcissistic Mothers podcast, where you'll find the validation and love you've been looking for. I can help you navigate the difficult waters of going no contact. Please follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word. Hi, everybody. I hope you're doing well. I hope you forgive the background noises here. I know some people have a setup for podcasting, and actually I do have a microphone and a setup, but sometimes I like to be outside because I feel better when I'm outside. And I'm not outside, I'm on my back porch, but I can see trees, I can see birds, I can see butterflies, and that just makes me feel better. And that's advice I would give to anybody. If you're having a rough day and you can get out into nature, that is the best cure for depression and anxiety, is to just go out and be around nature and see nature, because nature is such a, it's such a wonderful, beautiful thing. And it's not just because the flowers are pretty or the birds are interesting and beautiful. It's how nature works. I'm going to give you an example, and I'm not getting preachy here, but there's also city noises. That noise in the background, if you can hear it, is a garbage truck. So there you go. When I live in Southwest Florida, and when Hurricane Ian came, he came right over the city I live in. So anybody who knows, you know where I live, or at least you know very close to where I live, because it came right over us. I had this huge tree in my backyard, right? I don't own this house, we rent, and this tree was, It was huge. In Florida, you know, you don't see a lot of very tall trees, especially South Florida, because we're basically on sand. At any moment, we could freaking like just go into the sand. Our foundations are very stable. So large trees require a lot of soil because they have to put their roots in, right? Big, thick roots. Well, I had this tree, and it was beautiful. It was large. The leaves were so dense that in the summertime, I had to duck down in order to get under the tree. And I felt like I was being hugged by the tree, like I was safe. Sorry if I get emotional, but this moment was very emotional for me. So after the hurricane, nothing happened. The tree was standing, apparently, but we weren't home. We were somewhere else, and we came home to see what the house looked like. And I was talking to my neighbor, and my husband was trying to distract me because he didn't want me to look over. My tree had been cut down. The owners of the house decided that cutting down the tree was better than just trimming the branches that were close to the house. And it's not that close. It's not like right up against the house or anything. They just decided to do that, and it made me sad. I mean, it is their house, so they decide what happens. But it made me very sad. It was not a happy moment when I saw the tree was cut down, and I started crying. I considered that tree my best friend. Whenever I didn't feel good, that tree comforted me, made me feel safe. She was the mother I didn't have. So now, this hurricane passed September 28, 2022. So it's been almost 8 months now. And our porch the screens had all been blown away, whatever, it had to be replaced. It's finally been replaced, and that's why I'm sitting out here, and I haven't done a podcast from out here in a long time, because I could, but then the bugs would be getting in here. All you would hear me is screaming, because there was a wasp in the inside here. But now I can sit out here in peace. Now there's, what the heck, we never hear that. A helicopter, maybe? We never hear planes in this area, so something's going on. They're either spraying for mosquitoes or, I don't know. Yeah, it smells like some chemical, so that's what they're doing. Anyway. My cat's out here. One of my cats is out here, and she goes nuts because she just sees those birds and she wants to go after them. Anyway. I came out here maybe a month and a half ago before my screen was up, and I looked at where the stump of my tree was, and the tree or something is growing around the stump and through the stump. So me and my husband are like, what is growing out of there? Because the leaves are huge. Like, we don't know what's happening. But I see that stump as me, as a symbolism for me and my life. Even though I was cut all the way down, right? Life is still progressing around me and through me. There's nothing more symbolic than that. So, because it hasn't rained a lot, some of the sprouts have died, unfortunately. But I have a feeling that is going to grow and grow and keep growing. And I don't know what's going to happen there. I don't know if it's going to turn into a bush, you know, or what. But there's life there, right? There's life. Because the tree wasn't dead. It wasn't even hurt. I mean, I imagine that limbs fell. Actually, we did see that. We saw the limbs. They cut the tree later. Oh my goodness. I think because I was so traumatized by it, I didn't remember. All right. I've talked about that tree enough. But being in nature is amazing, because you see things like that happen. You see between, you know, in a crack in a rock, you see something growing, because life will find a way. During COVID, there was so many things that people were noticing about nature, even me. Like, I'm like, oh my goodness, look at all these things that weren't here before, because people were walking on it. But because people weren't walking on it for about a year, look, there's green. We live on this planet, but we don't own this planet. That's for sure. The planet still rules. And nature still rules. That's a big lesson. All right. So please look at the show notes for any links that you may want. If you want to join my private Facebook group, they are the best people on the planet. I still have yet to disagree with any of the advice that is given. These are people who have experience, and it doesn't matter what stage you are in this process, whether you just found out your mother was a narcissist or just realized it, whether you've known for years and are still in contact, or whether you're no contact, doesn't matter. These people will give you great advice, okay? And my group is not just for women. It is mostly women. I think women are more capable, maybe, of seeing toxicity, because the mother-daughter relationship is complicated anyway. And a woman is more capable of seeing it than men. Men are just, they're simpler. And I don't mean that in a negative way. Me and my husband were talking about it. men are, you know, just because they're looking into space doesn't mean that they're deep inside. It means that they're looking at a dot in the sky and there's nothing in their brain. That's just how it is. And I'm being general here. Of course, not everybody, not every man is like that. But it's just, I think women are more able to see the toxicity in the mother than a man. But I have a few men in the group, and I have one who's recently decided to comment, and I think that's wonderful, because I definitely want the male perspective out there, because I think they deserve to be heard as well. You know, I want more men to join. So go ahead and do that, and I have a Patreon link, a patron link. It's through Buzzsprout, which is my podcast hosting. All right, enough of that. So what am I talking about today? I have been on high anxiety for the last week or so, okay? Not because of Mother's Day. That really wasn't the reason. I wish it was that simple, but it's not. My anxiety has come from another source, which I really can't talk about. I wish I could, because I don't really hide anything from you guys. But it's just something that, if you've listened to my past podcasts, it's my big anxiety is this area of my life, and things are happening and yet not happening, if you can understand what I'm saying. Okay, so I decided to record a voice memo, because if I don't do a podcast, if I just want to talk, I'll do that and it helps. But I realized that I got into immediately the subject turned into something that happened with my mother. So I thought, might as well make a podcast out of this. All right, so today's podcast, I'm going to focus on how your mother did not want you to succeed. Okay. And I know that you can go back in your memory, and I don't want this to trigger you guys. So know that this, I'm going to talk about situations where she stopped me from succeeding. Okay. And I can start as far back as elementary school. I might touch upon that, but they don't want you to succeed in life. And then when they stop you from succeeding, they use that as a way to tell you, see, you can't finish anything you start. See, you can't do this. See, and they're the ones that have stopped you. Okay? And that is what people don't understand about a narcissistic parent. They just don't get it. They don't get that we lived a life of constant manipulation and constant control, because that is the number one thing. The narcissist wants full control of your life, and they want to mess with you. You are nothing more to the narcissist than a game piece. And when they want you to do this, they'll put you over here. When they want you to do that, they put you over there. And when you don't do what they want, that's when all hell breaks loose. But that's your entire life was based on What does my mom want from me now? You know, what is it that's going to make her happy, right? And I know for a fact that my mom didn't want me to succeed in life, in love, in parenting, nothing. Because I can think back now clearly and see where she stopped me from succeeding, or tried to. In some cases, she wasn't successful, which is great. But you know, they don't want you to be happy, successful or happy, or if it's the same thing, right? Because at one point in my life, I really wanted to quit a job that was physically and mentally harming me, because my principal happened to be worse than my mother. I don't know if that's possible, but I think she was worse. I've considered her to be a dark triad. Narcissist, psychopath, and Machiavellian. And I'm not going to go into that, but I think that she's a dark triad. because I had heard before I started working there that she does this to people. She makes them quit by badgering them and just nitpicking and making their life a living hell. And it worked on other people and it worked on me, but it backfired on her. I went to the newspaper and they printed the story on the front page because she decided she was going to send everyone an email saying not to talk to the press because they didn't do their research, and she put herself on blast and they quoted her email. Oh my God. You'd think that was satisfying, and it is, but that's not, it hindered me for years, that whole situation. So that was not the best move in hindsight. I should have just quit and done nothing. But anyway. So how does a mom stop you from being successful? Okay, a lot of you, I'm sure can relate. I'm going to start with college. I'm not going to start as far as elementary school, although I can. The biggest thing that my mother did to me was let me start college, right? The college I wanted to go to. And I was there for 2 years and I loved it. There was nothing about that school I didn't like. I loved the people, right? I made this huge group of friends. Actually met my ex-husband there, but that's a different story. I enjoyed my life there, and I remember trying to be there as long as possible. So if my classes were over, it's not like I ran home. I would try and hang out with my friends as long as I could because I didn't want to go home. I wanted to be there. And I went to a college in which I could commute, so I didn't leave, right? I didn't dorm. Sorry, took a sip of water. I didn't commute. After 2 years of college, I was remembering this the other day because it's funny how some details just escape your mind or you forget, or I don't know, your brain protects you. So I got a D in one of my classes. Now, here is the kicker. I had 6 classes that semester, and I didn't remember that until the other day where I was telling my husband a story about this one student who was brand new. He was coming in at the second semester sophomore year. That's when he transferred in, and they put him in all of my non-math classes. I had 4 classes with him, 3 times a week. So by the end of the first week, I was like, all right, me and you are together a lot. And guess what? We became really close because of it. I mean, we saw each other constantly. It was the, you know, did you study for the test? We would study together, share notes, that kind of thing. I mean, we were together all the time. As a matter of fact, I kind of brought him into my group of friends, and my friends were like, so where's your tail if he wasn't with me? And I was like, don't call him that. But he was my tail. I cannot deny the fact that we were together 24/7, and we were very touchy-feely friendly, which probably should have not been that way, but I was 19, and you know, I've always been super affectionate. I didn't think anything of it. He was 25, by the way. That's a whole other story. You guys can make your own conclusions out of that. Nothing happened. I'll say that much. Nothing happened. I had also met my ex-husband at the beginning of the first day of school that semester. So I had a boyfriend. So I felt safe, kind of, in being physically affectionate because I had a boyfriend. But now, guys, they don't get it. Anyway, so at the end of sophomore year, you know, it ended, I got a D in one of my calculus classes. Let me just tell you, and this is, I know that I shouldn't defend myself. I could have worked harder. I could have gotten help. But The teacher I had was a Russian woman with a very thick accent who spoke to the board, and nobody in class knew what she was saying. I remember sitting in class and looking around, and people were like, what is she talking about? Like, I wasn't the only one that was lost. And I had realized at that point that math was not the subject that I should have been, that should have been my major. I am good at math to a certain point, okay? Once you hit algebra and geometry, trigonometry just didn't make any sense to me. And everything after that didn't make sense. Calculus, Calc 1, Calc 2, Calc 3, right? There were other math courses I took in college that didn't make sense that were high-level courses because they were more analytical, I think. But the calculus stuff, I still don't get it. I still don't get it. I'll never get it. I know derivatives and the function of this and this and that. Oh my God, it's just a lot of symbols and that's all I remember. Okay. I can take a derivative. I still remember how to do that. But anyway. And I know first derivative means one thing, second derivative means something, and third derivative means something else. Like time, speed, something like that, right? I don't remember. But anyhow, I've gone off. So I got a D in that math class. And my mother waited until junior year started. So I was in school already for 3 days. I went to school 3 days, right? Bought notebooks, backpack, everything. Started school. Was with my friends. And I come back that Wednesday, and my mother tells me that I'm not going to be going to school anymore. I'm done. Because, and the reason she gave me was that D in calculus, Calc 3. And I'm like, how is that a thing when I got that D and you saw that D a long time ago? Way before I started the third year, right? Before I started junior year. And so that's what she started telling. This was part of the smear campaign. She told the whole family. Now, I'm not saying this is the first time she spoke badly of me. No, it's not. I'm sure it's not. I just don't know what it is, right? And I don't want to know. That's what, you know, I've put a boundary down with anybody I've spoken to. Well, I should say with the person I spoke to in December, who is not related but knows, talks to my cousin, and she was going to start telling me, and I said, I don't want to hear what my mother said about me. She tried again. I don't want to hear what my mother said about me. My boundary is strong. Okay? If you care about me at all, you're not going to tell me what awful things my mother said about me, because that's just hurtful. I don't need to know what she said. I know she said things about me. So this was one of the things that she used against me, was the fact that I had gotten a D. But it wasn't, she didn't say it the way it happened. She didn't say she had four classes and she got one D in calculus, because that would look like she's a bad guy, because she is a bad guy. She was the bad guy. No, no, no. She told people that they paid for my school and that I was not attending classes, was hanging out, smoking cigarettes, and drinking coffee, which is true, but not to the point where I didn't go to my classes. I'd get there in the morning, buy a cup of coffee. What's wrong with that? I would have a cigarette between classes or during a break. What's wrong with that, right? I mean, aside from the fact that cigarettes kill you, and I quit 6 years ago, but you know what I'm saying. Like, she wasn't telling the story completely. She was just making it seem like I didn't go to school. As a matter of fact, when I first went no contact, and one of the flying monkeys, the queen, the one, and I'm gonna say it just for it's and giggles, I'm gonna say it one more time, so in case she hears this, in case this is how my family's keeping track of me. She was married to my cousin, my first cousin. She was the second wife. She was the mistress and ended up marrying him. She got pregnant. Her name starts with an M and ends with an N. And she's very Cuban and she's had plastic surgery. And if she thinks it's unnoticeable, she's kidding herself. And she's not a good person because she was the one that immediately got involved. If you notice what I said, she was married to my first cousin. She's not related to me at all in any way, shape, or form, but she decided to insert herself in my business and in my family's business. And by family, I mean my parents and I, or my mother and I. Even my cousin shouldn't have been involved in all of this because it was everything that happened had nothing to do with him except for the fact that he knew the secret, which was that I had three older brothers, that my dad had been married twice and didn't know any of this. So anyway, I'm off on a tangent again. But anyway, she pulled me out of school. And so there's one example of how she didn't want me to succeed, okay? I look back, and to be completely honest, I'm glad things happened the way they did because I did get my degree. I got my degree by, and this is something I can be proud of. I don't have to say, oh, I got my degree and it was solely because of my parents. No, I got my degree because I wanted it. And I was married, working, and going to school. I was working part-time. I had a job that was flexible enough. And when I asked to go part-time, they let me go part-time. And they kept me as a permanent employee. I'll forever be grateful for that. You know, every time I wanted to go part-time, I worked full-time in the summers and breaks and part-time during classes. I paid for every semester up front with my money, a check that I would write, so I didn't have any student loans or anything. And I got my degree. Okay, that degree means more to me, even though it was a city school. Not that the city schools aren't good. My education that I got from that school was way better than the education I was getting at the private expensive school, more expensive school. Just because. I think the more you pay, in some instances, the easier the curriculum is. For some reason. That was my experience. That's not everybody's. Or maybe I'm just... But that was my experience. I paid for a private school, and I had an easier time getting A's in most classes than I did at this other school where I had to work really hard for my grades. And I did really well, by the way. My GPA went, you know, I had a couple of mishaps between the time that I left the first school and the second school. I tried to do Calc 3 at night. But the trip from where I was, it didn't work out. And it was considered an incomplete, which is considered a zero. So that messed up my GPA. And I was doing well in it, too, because the professor I had before. And he was really good. Anyway, wow. Talk about getting into one subject matter. So she didn't want me to succeed. And that's how she tried to stop me. Okay. I want to talk a little bit about, as I got older, things were different. You know, at a time in my life where I should have been in 100% control of my own life, right? I'm in my 40s. I control what I do, what I say, what I think, what job I have, what job I don't have. So I did mention being a teacher, okay? That was... Actually, the first college I was in, that was my major, secondary education. I was going to be a high school teacher, math teacher there. Well, I ended up becoming a high school math teacher here, where I live now in Florida. I'm from New York. And I think that alone killed her, but she couldn't stop me from doing it, right? She couldn't stop me from... There was no way she could do anything to stop me. But when I became a teacher... And I think she didn't stop me because this was one of her accepted careers for me. This was an acceptable career. So the first 2 years were challenging because I had no experience as a teacher, but great as far as I made such connections with my students. I made friends with the other teachers. I would still be there if it wasn't for what happened, which doesn't really matter. It's when the housing market crash, and it was just everything lined up, excuse me, so that I would so I would have to leave, right? The second school I was at, I had great administrators. I'm not gonna say the principal, I didn't have that much contact with him, although I got hired because of him. Someone I had met through a class walked me, she was one of the guidance counselors there, walked me right into his office, and I introduced myself in Spanish, and I said, how many bilingual math teachers do you have on staff? And he got me a t-shirt and said, welcome aboard. That's how I got that job. So I can't be more grateful for that. I mean, I needed a job as a teacher, and he gave it to me that quickly. And then what happened was the kids in that school were very difficult. It was a very big challenge. I never had that camaraderie with those kids like I did with the kids at the first school. Those kids were just tougher. They were tougher. And it was the neighborhood that the school was in. There's nothing else I want to say about that, except it was tough and I was having a hard time. I mean, there was a kid that right after he had been in my class had pulled a knife on someone, and I stood in front of one of my students who was like 6 feet tall. I was not, and back then I was thin. I stood in front of him because I knew this other kid had been taunting him in class, and I knew that there was going to be a physical altercation at some point. And it happened right outside my classroom, right after the bell rang. I ran to the door because I knew it was going to happen. And I was standing in front between them, which is a mistake because I could have gotten my behind handed to me. But I loved that kid. That kid was such a good kid and I knew that he wasn't going to hurt me. So I stood in front of him and pushed back. Anyway. And then I got a job at a middle school. Someone has suggested maybe you'd be good in middle school. Because those sixth grade, they're still kids. They're not that bad. And I think you'd be a good middle school teacher. And she was right, the person who told me that. She was the head of the math department at that school. And I wasn't even going to do it, but I saw the job opening and I said, what the hell? I'm going to apply for it. And I applied for it. And I got called in the same day. I remember I was driving and she's like, can you come in? And I'm like, yeah, I'm 2 minutes from my house. Let me change and I'll be right there. As the school was around the corner from where I was living at the time. So I got there, I got the job, and that was the most horrible thing. Now, how does that relate to my mother? My mother, as miserable as I was at that school with that principal, and the more I complained, and I said every day I would vomit in the mornings before school. That's how my anxiety was, because I didn't know what she was going to do to me that day, or her little minion. And I don't want to compare her to a minion, because I actually like the minions and I don't like that woman. You know what they say, hurt people, and usually I don't believe that, but this woman had been through something traumatic and she was a bitch. I'm not going to put it any other way. And I'm not talking about the principal. I'm talking about one of the assistant principals. The other one was a nice guy. She was horrible. But between the two of them, they made my life a living hell at that school. So, and what happened? I quit. And the next year, the woman went back to New Jersey where she freaking belonged. She didn't belong here. She didn't belong, you know. Not that there's anything wrong with Jersey. I'm just angry when I think about it. She'd had a trauma in her life. Her daughter was like 20. Got killed in a car accident. And yeah, I feel for her. But it's hard to feel for someone who treats you like crap. Anyway, I was miserable and I would tell my mom and you know, I want to quit teaching. It was impossible for me to get another job because you apply for a job if they call you. Because back then, between 2010 and 2012, mind you. So we're still in a recession. There aren't that many jobs out there. And I got phone calls back from a couple of jobs that I applied to, but I couldn't call them back because I'm a teacher. So even if I tried, I remember this one guy I couldn't get a hold of. He's one of those people who seemed a little too important. It's probably a good thing I didn't get the job anyway, but like I could never call him and he was not available. It was only when he could call me, and I'm a teacher. And I told him that. I said, I am a teacher. I can only call you back between this time and this time. And I never got a hold of him. I don't even remember what kind of job. I think it was human resources, I'm assuming. It was very difficult for me to get another job that way. I had to do it during the summers. And I actually tried two summers to get another job. And it was just, I would be giving up benefits and all that because the only thing I could find was temp jobs at that point. So, but my mother encouraged me to stay because, and she used my daughter as guilt. Because my daughter had the summers off and the same days off as I did, and how could I do that to her, and this and that. You know what? It wouldn't have made a difference whether I had the summers off or not. What good was I to my daughter when I was constantly stressed out? She just wanted me to be unhappy. It had nothing to do with my daughter. And it's not that I don't care about those things, that I didn't care that I would be missing out on summers with my daughter, but the summer is just a couple of months out of the year. Too hot to be outside. We would be indoors. So she used that guilt trip on me and kept me there until the point where the principal did something heinous, something that couldn't have made me not just lose my job, but lose my certificate. And I would rather have lost my job, and that's why I quit, than have the state take my certificate away, because I was going to report what she did to the state, which I did. And she got a phone call that same day about what she did. You know? So that's the good thing. I mean, I kept my integrity. I kept my certificate, my teaching certificate. That was more important to me, even if I wasn't going to use it, that the state wasn't going to take that away from me because of something I didn't do. But she threw me under the bus. Anyway, I've talked enough. So...